It's the middle of the afternoon, and there's a clean sheet turboprop out over Kansas right now, burning holes in the sky so the rest of us don't have to guess how it flies. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS, your afternoon update. Let's get into it. The headline making the rounds this week comes out of Wichita, and it's about an airplane a lot of us have been watching for years now, the Beechcraft Denali. Textron Aviation's clean sheet single-engine turboprop. The one meant to go head-to-head with the Pilatus PC-12 and the Daher TBM. And the story isn't just that another certification milestone has come and gone. The story is what's hanging on the front of that airplane and what it's trying to do to the way you fly. Here's what you need to know. Before we get into it, today's update is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, the discipline, and the pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, the Denali. For those just tuning in, the Beechcraft Denali is a big single one engine, one propeller, a cabin you can actually stand up and move around in, and a flat floor that lets it swallow cargo through an aft door. It's aimed squarely at the working turboprop market. The owner-flown airplane, the charter airplane, the small package hauler, that whole segment has been dominated for a couple of decades by the Pilatus PC-12, and Textron looked at that and said, we'd like some of that. But the airframe, honestly, is not the interesting part. Textron knows how to build an airframe. The interesting part is the engine. The Denali is the launch airplane for General Electric's Catalyst engine, and the Catalyst matters because it is the first clean sheet turboprop engine designed for this class of airplane in more than half a century. Think about that for a second. The engine on the front of most of the turboprops you've flown or ridden behind traces its design lineage back to the 1960s. That's not an insult. That family of engines is one of the most reliable pieces of machinery ever bolted to an airplane. It has earned every bit of its reputation, but it was designed in an era of slide rules and cable and pulley thinking, and the pilot has been quietly doing part of that engine's thinking ever since. The headline doesn't tell the whole story. So let me explain what clean sheet actually buys you here, because it's not marketing. The Catalyst is built around a full authority digital engine control. We call it FADEC. Say it as a word, FADEC. What that means, in plain English, is that there is a computer standing between your hand and the fuel that goes into that engine, and that changes the job. If you've flown a legacy turboprop, you know the dance. You've got a power lever, a propeller lever, sometimes a condition lever. You're managing torque. You're watching a temperature gauge like a hawk on every start and every power change, because if you cook the hot section, that is a very expensive afternoon. You're staying ahead of the engine, so the engine doesn't get ahead of you. On a hot day at a high field with a heavy airplane, that workload lands right when you're busiest. The Catalyst takes most of that off your plate. One lever, you move the single power lever, and the digital control figures out the fuel schedule, the propeller pitch, and the limits, and it keeps the engine inside its own envelope. You ask for power, it gives you power, and it does the protecting. This affects you if you've ever wanted to step up from a piston single into turbine equipment and looked at that second and third lever and thought, that's a lot of new airplane to learn. The whole pitch of the single lever architecture is that it shrinks that gap. The airplane is doing the engine management that used to require either a lot of training or, decades ago, a second set of hands up front. And that's the line I want you to sit with. A digital brain trying to do the job a second crew member or years of turbine experience used to do. Now, I told you I'd flag opinion when it's opinion, so here it is. I think that's genuinely good for safety, and I think it comes with a trap. The good part is obvious. Fewer hands moving fewer levers at the worst possible moment means fewer chances to hurt the engine or fumble a go-around. The trap is the same trap we talk about with every layer of automation. When the box is doing the thinking, you can stop understanding what the box is thinking. And the day it does something you didn't expect, you're behind an airplane you thought was simple. Simple to operate is not the same as simple to understand. Keep those two ideas in separate pockets. There's one more piece of the Catalyst worth your attention, and it's a small thing that's actually a big thing. That engine has a lot more digital memory and self-monitoring built in than the generation before it. It's watching its own trends. It's logging its own life for an owner. That's the difference between finding out about a developing problem on a maintenance download versus finding out about it on a check ride, or worse, on a departure. Health monitoring that used to be an add-on is getting baked into the metal. That's the quiet trend under the loud headline. The engine is becoming a data source, not just a power plant. Let me widen the lens, because this Denali story is really one data point in a bigger shift, and the bigger shift is the one that actually touches your logbook. The single-lever computer-managed turbine is coming down market. It started at the top, in the jets, and it has been working its way down into the airplanes that regular owner pilots actually buy and fly. And as it does, the skills that define a turbine pilot are changing underneath us. Managing an engine by hand used to be a core competency. It's becoming a backup competency. That's not wrong, but it means the training has to change with it. And the honest operators know that the new hard skill isn't running the engine. It's knowing exactly what the automation will and won't do for you, and when to take it back. Which brings me to the one habit I'd hand you out of all of this, whether you ever get near a Denali or not. Learn your automation's failure modes before you learn its features. Anybody can learn the features. The salesman will teach you those for free. The features are the easy day. What separates the pilots who stay ahead of these airplanes is that they've read the part of the manual nobody reads. What happens when the digital control reverts? What the airplane does on its own? What warning you get and what you're expected to do about it? The single lever is a gift on a normal day, on an abnormal day. The question is only ever whether you understood what was underneath it. So here's where this leaves you this afternoon. If you're watching the Denali as a future airplane to own or fly, the number to keep your eye on is entry into service. And the thing to judge it on is not top speed or cabin width. It's how the catalyst behaves when it's tired, when it's hot, and when something's not quite right. That's the review that matters. And if you're flying something with three levers up front today, don't be in a hurry to feel behind the times. Knowing how to run an engine by hand is not an obsolete skill. It's the skill the automation is quietly built on top of. The details on the Denali program and the Catalyst engine come by way of Textron Aviation and General Electric's own reporting, along with the trade coverage over at AVWeb and the folks at AOPA who've been tracking this airplane since it was a set of drawings. You can find more of these updates at radiohangar.com. That's the whole afternoon brief. Single lever or three? Just know what your hand is actually connected to. I'm Tower. I'll see you on the next one.